Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Well, it's great to be with you today, celebrating Jesus and as a church caring for community. Jesus is so good to us in so many ways. We ought to celebrate all that he's done for us. And because he's been so good to us, we need to reach out to people that are around us. Can I pray as I share some thoughts with you today from God's word? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We have learned over the past couple of weeks that your word is truth and that your word speaks to us individually and collectively as a nation. Your word changes us and transforms us. May your word today continue to do that. Touch each one of us that listens. May we be changed into the very image of Christ, to be Jesus in our community, in the world that we live in. We thank you for this. Bless your servant as he preaches your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, one of the last things that Jesus did before he went back to heaven, after having spent 33 years here on earth, and after having given himself on the cross to save the world, one of the last things Jesus did was he gave his disciples what we call the Great Commission. He commissioned them to go into all the world. A little earlier, he had given them the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then the second Great Commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love was to be the Great Commandment. The Great Commission was to go into all the world. So I got thinking about this a number of years ago, and I realized that each of the different Gospels gives a little different twist on the Great Commission. And I want to talk about this as we talk about Watoto Church and why God has us planted in this city of Kampala. The first is the book of Matthew, and in Matthew, he talks about discipleship. And then the second is in Mark. Mark talks about declaration of the gospel. The third is Luke. Luke talks about having the dynamic power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then John. John talks about total devotion to Jesus. Let's look at those four things very, very briefly. Matthew. Jesus commissions the disciples in the church by saying this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them, and this is what Jesus said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Wow. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching those nations to obey everything that I have commanded them. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' commission to the church was to make disciples of the nations, to teach the nations to obey what Jesus commanded us. So the role of the church is to make disciples, to build churches, and to preach on Sundays, and to worship, and to go and start cells so that we can inculcate the very character and the very culture of Christ into the heart of the people of our city and our nation. Make them followers of Jesus. To live like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to be the church, Christ's body on the earth. What a great commission that is. And so each one of us that are listening today are not just to go to church and hear a sermon, but we're to take the truths of the Word of God. They're to change us so that we can become change agents in our community, bringing the kingdom of God here to the earth. Well, the second is Mark, and Mark talks about the declaration of the gospel. In Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 18, he says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, this is what Jesus commissioned them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. These are the words of Jesus. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. What Jesus did, his authority, is delegated to the believer as the believer goes out and he preaches the good news about Jesus to everybody. And as we talk about this, it's a declaration. It's an announcement. Without fear, without favor, without apology, without asking permission, we are here to tell you that God has a message for the world. And the message to the world is this: there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who died for the sins of the world. And only Jesus was raised from the dead and has the power to give us eternal life. And this power, the power of the Holy Spirit, which is in the next book, Luke, is the power that can change our lives, change our society, change our community. So we're to make disciples and we're to have a bold declaration, an announcement of the purpose of God through Jesus in the church. And then the third is Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 49. It says, then Jesus opened their minds, the disciples' minds, so they could understand the scriptures. This is what he told them. He told them what the Bible said. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He's telling us to wait for the dynamic, the dunamis, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to enable us, to equip us, to empower us, to be the catalysts, the change agents, the preachers, the disciplers, the people who make a difference in our community. Holy Spirit helps us to do that. And so each of us, when we come to Christ, Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. And then we have another experience where Holy Spirit comes upon us and he fills us with himself. And as it was on the day of Pentecost, there is an explosion of worship and praise in other tongues and languages. And then there's power. Those timid and shy, fearful disciples with boldness went out to make disciples and to preach the gospel. They ended up in prison because of it. But they had a new power. That power was the Holy Spirit. We can't depend just upon lights or music or smoke and thunder or on beautiful buildings or on nice programs. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, to empower us, to enable us, to quicken us, not just to be in church and go to church, but to live the Christ life everywhere we are. Well, that's Jesus' commission. Make disciples, declare the gospel of Jesus, be filled with the dynamic presence of the Holy Spirit. And then fourthly, in the book of John. The book of John is about devotion, total devotion to Jesus. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 22. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and he asks him one question, three ways, three times. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. He's offended because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Oh, I could preach there, but I won't. And then Jesus said this to Peter. He said, follow me. Disciple yourself. Peter turned and saw that the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. This is John, who's writing this book. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw John, he asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? In other words, mind your own business. Look after your own life. He said, you must follow me. Here, that emphasis is on total and complete devotion to Christ. Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? He asked Peter three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. And that's why when he asked the third time, Peter was upset. I think he realized what was going on. Do you love me more than these, more than life? Do you love me? In other words, not just a ooey-gooey, squishy feeling, good feeling about me, but do you passionately love me? Are you totally devoted to me? And then the third time it was, the emphasis was on Jesus. Do you love me? Not just the kingdom, not just the vision, not just the good things that I do for you. Do you love me? Peter's offended. And each time Jesus gives him a commission. He said, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. We're to care for people, children and teenagers and adults. Our role is to care for people. So Jesus is asking us in this great commission to build the kingdom of God. It is our responsibility to be Christ now, here, on the earth, discipling people and nations, declaring and announcing the good news that there is salvation in Jesus. We're here to experience the dynamic presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that will make all the difference, not our own strength, but God's strength. And then thirdly, we're to be totally, hopelessly devoted to the most wonderful person who ever lived, God Himself, Jesus. That's our role. Our role is the church. Our responsibility is to build the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus here on the earth, in our community. Yes, we're Ugandans. We're to love Uganda. We're to be loyal and faithful to Uganda. But Uganda won't save us. The political people of Uganda won't save us. The economy of Uganda is what God has given us to look after on His behalf. The only kingdom that we really will ultimately be a part of is the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of Buganda or Teso or somewhere else. We are here to build the kingdom of God, the culture of Christ, the character of Christ lived out in our community. Oh, yes. We may be Ugandans or Buganda or Teso or whatever it is, but we can be the best there and still be members of the kingdom of God. We're to diligently and to actively work to reinstate the sovereignty of Jesus over all of life and in every sphere of influence within our city and nation. Jesus must be first. He must have the supremacy in everything within our nation. In our politics, in our business, in our education, in our arts, our entertainment, our media, in the way that we treat one another. We need to bring Christ back to His sovereign place of being the Lord of Uganda. The Lord of Kampala, not just the Lord of the church. We don't do this. We don't build the kingdom of God just by going to the church where we celebrate Christ in joyful and jubilant worship. It's to be an exciting place to go when we go to church. But we are not just to go to church, we are to be the church. We are to be Christ. We're to be the body of Christ in our community. What Jesus was in his day, we are to be in our day. What he was in Jerusalem, we are to be in Kampala. We're to be the church. We do this by being Christ's body, caring for people like Jesus cared for people, caring for our community as Jesus cared for his community. And we boldly declare this, without fear, without favor, the good news that Jesus is the hope of Kampala, the hope of Uganda. Jesus is the owner of Kampala because he owns everything. Why? Because he created everything. Because he created everything, he's the owner of everything. And he's the final authority over of everything. Everything belongs to him. It's his. He's sovereign over it. We're just stewards of whatever we have. You and I are stewards over the city of Kampala, over the nation of Uganda. And wherever you might be listening to this message, if you're in Europe or America or in the Far East or the Middle East, God has placed you there to be an agent of the kingdom of God. That's what the church is. Jesus is the owner. We're to give him honor and reverence. The Bible says, I love this, it's the message, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, God raised Jesus from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. And at the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and he acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Wow! We are the church of the living Jesus. We are here for a purpose, to make a difference where we live by living out the truth of the kingdom of God, the character and the culture of Christ. I want to challenge you as you listen to this message. Don't just go to church. Come on, let's be the church. We're living in very difficult times, very challenging times. The international response to COVID-19 is reshaping global culture and politics and thinking through the loss of national sovereignty over many things. Travel and lots of things are going to change in the days that we lie ahead. The way we do church may change forever. The way we travel and do business may change forever. We don't know. We don't know what the future is, but we know that there's a God in heaven who's in charge of the future. The world is going mad. The West is becoming insane. The West has turned against God and the Bible and marginalized the church. I preached about this a number of weeks ago. Sexual deviance of the most disgusting kind is considered normal and completely acceptable. Sexual deviance and perversion through homosexuality and other things is not just tolerated, but it is celebrated and promoted. It's the law of the land. And non-compliance with that law will be prosecuted. Marilyn showed me something this week as she was going through news articles. She showed me a picture of the American flag with the gay pride flag flying right below it. And I was shocked when she told me that the American embassies all around the world are going to fly the gay pride flag right beneath the American flag. Oh, shame, America! We don't only tolerate sexual deviance, we celebrate and we promote it. Every single English soccer match that you and I watch begins with people bowing to stop racism. But if you listen very carefully, it's to stop intolerance of every kind. And it includes the same sexual deviance that we are supposed to say is normal and must be celebrated. The world is going mad. So-called gender confusion that we've talked about. The slaughter of millions of little children every year through abortion. And we are completely marginalized as irrelevant as the church and antiquated. But nothing could be further from the truth. The church is the pillar of truth. The church is the hope of the world because Christ in us is truth and is the hope of the world. You see, truth is no longer considered absolute. It's whatever you feel. That's what we heard in the message when we were talking about the Bible being true. So you might say, the sky is no longer blue. It's whatever color you want it to be. You must be mad to believe that. And the East, China, is on a neo-colonial binge. They're building a yellow and a red world that is built on the corruption of nations and the corruption of the national leaders of those nations through the purchase and the exploitation of the natural resources of those nations all across Africa. Corruption is becoming worse. The roads and the stadiums and the railways that are being built for us at other people's expense come at great cost to our financial and future security. It's time for Africa to stand up and say, we are going to follow Christ. We're going to believe in the Bible. Why? Because we're Christians and we're proud of it. We are the embassy of the kingdom of God here on the earth. We're to be a prophetic voice to the nations announcing, this is what God says. We're to model righteousness and good living by our conduct, not just as people in the pews, but as pastors. It's not about money or fame or how important we might think we are. It's about being servants to the people of our community. We're not only to be prophetically declare the kingdom of God, but we are to practically demonstrate to our community our love by our passionate acts of kindness and grace and mercy through community projects aimed at solving the crisis that is faced by the poor and the marginalized of our land. This is what Watoto Church will do. That's why we're here. So let me close with some things that I think we need to do in the days that lie ahead. I was invited a number of years ago, 8 years ago, into a great network of pastors. Those pastors pastor the largest churches in the world with hundreds of thousands of members. And to be a member of that network, you must be a man of complete integrity, a man that is trusted and has done something in his community. And I was so honored to be invited to be a part of that. It's really just to encourage one another and to rub shoulders with great men of God and learn from one another. But we decided we needed to do a couple of things. And one of them is that we have a goal to revitalize 1 million churches around the world. There are 7 million churches in the world. 1 million of those churches are thriving. 2 million of those churches are just surviving. 4 million of those churches are dying. There are places around the world where beautiful church buildings have been sold to become bars or mosques or Hindu temples or bingo halls. Beautiful buildings that once had revival are now closed and they're selling those buildings. We'd like to buy those buildings and send people from different nations to go and start churches in those places, revitalize 1 million churches. That's one of our goals. Watoto Church, I would love for us to be involved in that. The second thing is Syria. As we were together, there was a burden on our hearts for Syria. The Syrian church was targeted when ISIS came through. They put a sign on the Christian homes. And when the bombs came and the missiles came, they targeted those homes. And then they would come in, ISIS would come into the community and they would take the families. And they would bring them into the streets. And they would make the father recant, turn away from Christianity. Or in front of his wife and children, they beheaded them. And thousands of Christian leaders and men were slaughtered by Muslims who want to bring about a one world caliphate. And so we began to be burdened for them. And we were able to go back to Syria as a network. and to rebuild homes for Christian widows and their children. We built our first 100 homes, and Watoto Church, you and I gave the money to rebuild 10 of those homes. And I was asked if there was something else that Watoto Church could do. Could we go to Syria and send a team and start a Syrian children's choir and help the children go around Syria singing of the hope that they have in Jesus? Would we also come alongside children and build children's cells? Would we teach the church in Syria, the church that has gone through so much, how to care for widows and orphans? What a great honor to be asked by some of the greatest churches in the world, Watoto Church, can you help us do this in Syria because that's what you're good at? So we're going to do that. God spoke to me a number of years ago, said, I want you to ask the people for an offering. That has become our annual My Missions offering. And we gave $1 million. That's our target every year. We're a little short this year. God said, I want you to give it away. And through that missions offering, we've planted churches in Rwanda and Burundi. We planted a church in Canada. We planted a church in Eastern Europe. We're coming alongside a church in Japan. And it's not our church. We're helping others to do that. I think that's a good thing to do. Maybe we're going to be able to do something in one of these nations in a building that's now empty or has just a few people. We can do this. God also wants us to be faithful here as a church in building the kingdom of God, getting excited about the kingdom of God by gathering in our celebration points when we can do that again. I know it's difficult for us having to make a booking and our children can't come, but let's do all we can to gather together as much as possible. Let's pray for the day when we can all gather together in great celebration points, build new buildings, and see the kingdom of God built here in Kampala, Uganda. I think this is a great opportunity for us to strengthen cells. Get in a cell. Cell leaders, you're our heroes. Get your cell members involved in reaching into the community. Every cell, finding a poor Muslim family and loving them. Every cell, finding a poor woman, widow who's struggling, a mother who's raising her children on her own, and through our Watoto neighborhood, caring for them. We've done that with thousands of children and thousands of women. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to touch our community, not just to celebrate Christ, but to care for our community. And then finally, I want to say, let's continue with generosity. Oh, Watoto Church, I'm so proud of you for being faithful to the Lord's tithe and offering. Let's not stop returning the Lord's tithe. We don't pay our tithes. We return what is already God's. He asked us for 1/10. The first 1/10 of everything we receive, we bring it in celebration and with delight to say, this is yours. I give it back to you. Build your kingdom. Let's be faithful to the tithe. Let's be faithful to the offerings that God has called us to do. Now, I want to close with just this one simple thought again, because it's so important. And it's who we are as a church. This is Africa's time. God sent us to Uganda to build an English-speaking church downtown in the heart of the capital city, to raise the next generation of African leaders that would bring about the transformation of Africa. That's still my dream. And how do we do this? We do this by making disciples of that generation, by declaring boldly the word of God, by asking the Holy Spirit to empower us to do this, and by being totally devoted to Jesus. I've spent my life doing that. And I have a young team of pastors around me being led by Pastor Julius, who are taking up the mantle, taking up the responsibility for me. I want you to get behind them. Let's be faithful. God wants to do an awesome thing if he will find someone, a people willing to do it. Will you do that? Can I pray with you? Father, I thank you for the church, the body of Christ. Not just Watoto Church, but all across this city, all across this nation, tens of thousands of churches. Help us to be the light of the world. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to live with righteousness and truth and holiness. Help us to reflect the character of Jesus. Help us to be noble and honest and good. Help us to be non-corrupt in everything. Help us to be people who bring hope and light and life and truth. I thank you for that. Help us to be you in our community. We'll give you honor, we'll give you praise, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you serve Jesus with your life.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.